Haribol. Weil you in action is Kinshan, it is you combine wittiness with humor and with sincerity also. This is a very good combination. Very nice. Yeah, Hare Krishna. I feel Radhika Ranjan has already done a very nice kirtan, and I was a little late, so I will go directly into the subject, and we will do kirtan in between. I would like to ask you, do you have a little something where I can rest the Bhagavatam on, or some, or at least this here, some little thing? I will actually discuss this subject on how spiritual or how we can spiritualize our friendships, really, with a verse from the Bhagavatam. So I would love to chant with you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. So, Hare Krishna, I think we all recognize that if our relationships can be places where we go for spiritual inspiration, then such relationships are very functional and very good. But so often, what has happened with you? I was thinking, this is of course very beautiful. I don't want to say, no, it's because maybe of the subject matter, no? Loving communities. You have been influenced by Keshava Maharaj's lecture. And I was thinking of to put something for the book on. Chair is we have a certain spiritual culture. Chair is not so good because someone sat there, and we don't know how his digestion worked. So therefore, we want to find something else. Yeah, good. So we all know how much we can be inspired by a spiritual friendships. I do remember in my own life how the spiritual element in a friendship with one of my best devotee friends had helped me very much to find actually my purpose. I was at that time a little bit overwhelmed by the multitude of invitations. There were just maybe 600 invitations per year to give lectures here and there and everywhere. And I did not want to say no. I also had not learned the yogic art to split my personality and go with one body to one and the other. So I remember my friend took me to Giriraj. He said, I have seen that you are overworked, over-serviced, so to say, and I think we should do an exercise together. And I remember how he had brought a yoga mattress with him so we could sit just and not feel any thorns or monkey stool. So we sat there, and he then reminded me, when we don't know how to proceed in our life and we are stuck in a confusion of what we should do, how we should do our service, for instance, like in my case, it's good to ask Giriraj, because Giriraj is the greatest of Krishna's servant. And I remembered at that time, it never struck me to ask Giriraj, the sacred hill in Braj, for an answer. Yet I had lectured so often, or heard so often, how Giriraj is the best servant and therefore likes other servants of Krishna. I had lectured, but I lacked still the realization. Here my friend takes me almost by the hand, brings me on a carefully prepared yoga mattress next to Giriraj and says, I should now ask Giriraj for an answer. And I was not, I would have never done it myself. I thought maybe the Lord will not answer, or for sure Giriraj will not answer if I asked him. And I had other misgivings. And here my friend just had sat me down and said, okay, you pray to Giriraj. And I said, what will you do? Well, I will pray that Giriraj gives you an answer. So I was really set up here in a friendly way to do something I had not considered. And I remember praying to Giriraj, and afterwards having a very clear image of what I should do. I actually saw, as I was praying, you will laugh, but I saw a funnel. You know what is a funnel in English? It has a very wide rim, and it narrows and then goes to a pipeline. And he said, and I saw the funnel before me, and then I could understand, yes, there are many, many wonderful projects in ISKCON where new people are contacted, but I, with my particular, let us say, interest to go deep into the deeper aspects of the Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy, I am situated somewhere down the tunnel from where I will help people to go into that pipe line, or is it pipeline, the smaller thing where they will go on their own to meet Radha and Krishna. I saw this very clearly before me, that one part of my service, maybe the most important part of the service, which I do, should be to bring people who are already having some Shraddha further, so that their real journey, or that they will reach the end of their journey, Narada and Krishna. And as he said this, as I received this answer, I became very joyful in my life. I became also quite adventurous, and as a result, I became very active in trying to develop something which you can see now in Vrindavan. It's the Govardhan Retreat Center. We have 240 beds. They are, that means we have rooms where devotees can retire from what they do and go to Giriraj, the best of servants, and go deeper in their spiritual practice and receive the answers which they need to get for the ultimate questions in their life, like how can we contact Krishna. So this is one, let me say, one result of one thing I noticed in a spiritual friendship. I have also another friend. I have a friend who is maybe my longest friend. He's really, we have gone more than 50 years in our friendship. He is a professor of Sanskrit and the religious sciences. But when I am with him, he's not a devotee. He likes devotees very much, but he is himself an intellectual and is stuck in some intellectual considerations. When I go to him, he will say, "Would you like to see this Netflix movie with me, or would you like to see an old recording of Jimi Hendrix?" I don't know if you know Jimi Hendrix. He's a musician of world music, and he will say like this, and I will say, would you like to have a spiritual discussion? And then we do a little of both. Mostly I'm wrestling him down that our time is. By now we don't do a little of both. I do major preaching and he is mostly listening submissively and so on. But I wanted to say to you, there are different types of friendships, and the way you can see them is that there is a space between you and the other person. If I would say, for instance, now there's Gokrishna here, and there is 2 meters between him and me. But there is also a relationship space. And it depends on me and on him what we put into this space. And accordingly, the space will start to work. Let me say, I put in the space between Gokrishna and me an idea. Let's walk around a lake, for instance. Then this activity, walking around the lake, will work. Or if I say to Gokrishna, Gokrishna, why don't we fill the space between us with an activity like doing kirtan before our deities? Then this activity will work and will influence the two of us. With the first project, walking around a big lake, we will have a physical workout. With the second, we will have a spiritual realization. So you can fill the space between people, and sometimes it's just enough to fill it with well intentions. I have, for instance, found a great, amazing miracle happening. There are often devotees who ask me to pray for them, and because I'm also a priest and Brahminically trained, I do this. And what I do is, I sit before my deity, and I invite. I think of my of the person and his concern, and I invite him to come into the space between me and Krishna, and then the prayers really work. I have seen people who we pray for, when we invite them into a space between me and Krishna, who have been resurrected from the death. Really, I've seen many times, and there is not a better explanation for this than that the space works. So you can put your the space which you inhabit and which is there between you and another person with various items, and according to what you put in there, this it will work. It will work. It must work. I really request you, when you meet someone, think consciously, what will I put now into the space? Space means we have a certain time frame. Within that time frame, there is a certain time space. We have a certain relationship, and that is a relational space. And we can now think very deeply, what will I place in there, in the time and in the relation? And you will see, according to what you put in there, with your intention, that is very important, and what you speak with your words, with the activities which you do, the whole friendship turns around. For instance, with my professor friend, we come from the same age group. We participated in the same German culture, which was literature, music, and food, and I have chosen to slowly put different items in the relationship space, and I'm happy that he stayed with me. Sometimes when you all of a sudden put different items in the relationship space, it's almost like putting different unknown preparations on the table between you and your friend. And the friend will be irritated. We say in Germany, "What die Buhr nicht kennt, die freit ihn nicht." This is a very colloquial German. It means what the farmer doesn't know, he doesn't eat. So many times you have maybe noticed you have the same person, your old friend, and all of a sudden you put different items on the table, so to say, in that space between you, and he's irritated. Have you noted that? Because he's accustomed to a certain meal, a relationship meal with certain items, and he does not know what you put now in it, and he's suspicious. Have you gone to a sect that you give this? So yes, so in devotional circles, I have noted that unfortunately devotees often put the same preparations on the table. They are not sure if they will be rejected if they all of a sudden start to put only spiritual items there. And maybe they have been rejected by their old friends when they started to serve spiritual items into the relationship space or on the relationship table or however you wish to call it. And therefore they are afraid. Maybe they are not secure themselves, these devotees, and they are not yet so convinced about Krishna consciousness. And therefore it feels a little awkward for them, for instance, to speak about Krishna. They rather like to speak about mobile phones because that's where they're secure, and so on, or football end results, and so on. But I encourage you to try to spiritualize your relationships by putting other things in the relational space, more spiritual things, and you will see how everything changes instantly almost. There's a very interesting section of the Bhagavatam which starts with Maharaj Nimi, a king, who asks questions to the Navayogendras. These are nine saintly sons of Maharaj Rishabdev who walk through the spaces, the universal spaces. They are avadutas. They are not wearing any particular fashion. They are naked, and they come to Maharaj Nimi, who has burning questions in his heart. And one of these questions is, how can ordinary materialistic people like me attain the supreme goal of life, that is God? That's a good question. Do you acknowledge the value for your own self? So Prabuddha takes on this question. He's one of the nine saints, and he says, first of all, we want to really make clear that if you have any shadow of a doubt, material things will not make you happy. So he first establishes this, what Keshava Maharaj called the most persistent. He establishes or he unveils the most persistent lie that is there since time immemorial, that by having material things, I will be happy. It's, by the way, a lie which even devotees believe in, because it's so persistent, it's ingrained in our thinking factory, no? Sometimes, as Buddha Bhavana told us yesterday, we go to material sense gratification just to escape being so absolutely busy and having some free time. But most of the time we go there because of old habits, no? And we go there. So then, after having said this, he said, you should be trained in spiritual life by accepting a spiritual master. And then finally, he comes to the point I want to share with you. Maharaj Nimi says, what you should do after your initiation or after you have become a disciple. With whom should you associate and in what way should you associate? And you will see, he will now give advices how we can spiritualize the relational space between us, how we can spiritualize our friendships. This is what he says. I want to sing it to you. May I? Parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavat yasha mitoratir mitastushtir nivritti mita atmana. Translation. One should learn. Wow, here's something to learn. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord. One should gather with them to actually speak about the new applications on Apple computer. Oh, sorry, sorry. No, I'm so sorry. This is old illusion in me. No, one should gather with them to exchange recipes. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them, coming together, to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Let's unpack this. So we are encouraged to associate with the devotees in a particular way. What is this? We should chant the glories of the Lord. This could mean we should chant kirtan, or it could also mean we should speak about Krishna. Maybe something which we have heard in the lectures, we could discuss this, or we can sit with them and chant. There will be a result which is from this spiritual way of associating. One's heart is purified. Do you know why one's heart is purified? Why something happens with the heart when we chant? This is explained in the second chapter of the first canto, that when you Srinvantav Swakata Krishnam, when you hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna, Krishna actually becomes attracted. Especially when you do this with a few devotees, with many devotees, not just alone, but with many. And he comes actually into the heart of each devotee, and there he purifies the heart. He takes away the anattas. That's why this morning we all tried to sing and chant and also dance joyously. No, we tried. Why? Because at that time Krishna's attention is falling upon us, especially group chanting or group petition calls the Lord and catches his attention. As a result, he comes into every single heart and purifies him. Have you noticed that sometimes after kirtan, you are happy without words? You don't speak any longer. Have you noticed? Well, if you land in London, you will speak after 3 minutes, most probably. If you are in India, after 10 minutes. If you are in Norway, you won't speak for an hour. Because your old program has been, your old thought system has been taken away. My dear devotees, that's the power when you chant with absorption. Your mind becomes silent. Especially when you chant with devotees in big groups, the Lord actually goes in your heart and tishta, he stands there. He doesn't stand outside watching you, leaning against the frame of the door and just looking what's going on. No, he comes into the heart and he purifies the heart. This is why coming together as a group and chanting about him and talking about him is purifying, because the Lord is attracted and helps you to get rid of what needs to be gotten rid. On the other hand, if you fill the space between you and the other with cooking recipes, which is kind of innocent, no? Or with critical talk, gossip, which is kind of borderline, or with even Vaishnava offenses, which is not so good at all, the Lord is disappointed. And he will say, oh, the two devotees have come together, but they talk about the world and about Maya. And the Lord removes himself from your association. That's, have you noticed sometimes after gossip, gossip is a hard word, material talk, you feel empty? You should feel full because you have gotten a 50 earfuls of material information. It should be full, but you feel empty because the Lord has deserted you. This is there. So it's gathering and chanting is purifying, not on its own, because the Lord comes and he is everything. There. Another result is here. The devotees develop in such an association their loving friendship and they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. When you chant and hear, you feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a point. Why it's mutual happiness? He says it's a happiness without rivalry. I have this text of Vishwanath Chakravarti here. It's here. The devotees take shelter of purifying discussions where there is glorification of the Lord, and then one will have mutual enjoyment, mitaha rati, without rivalry. Have you noticed that sometimes in discussions they are not really going so well because one person says one thing, you say one thing, and then the person also wants to say something, and it comes here. It doesn't meet. Have you been in this discussion? You say something, and he or she says something, and it seems to not meet. Abe nods his head. That means no. In London. English. So you have not seen this. Very often, especially amongst men who are little dominant, it takes some time before you have a good discussion. I don't know with Mataji's, I do not know how you are wired, but with men, there is often the desire to show that one knows something, that one is valuable, that one wants to establish maybe a point or a perspective or a vision, and it is discussion where there is a rivalry, no? Who is the better? Who knows more? When you talk about Krishna, and you don't talk about, you know, how many verses you know to show that the other doesn't maybe know so many as you know, but if it's a real talk about Krishna conscious experience, then you will find there is no rivalry. No competition, not this constant. I want to show my value. Have you seen this? Oh, I don't know. When you say yes, you may think no. You use language differently than. You use language in order to please the other, and there is language which is used in order to find the truth. This is a different language. So modern men like to use the first type of language to please, to get likes, but we should go after the truth, my dear devotees. That's very important. So there is no rivalry. There's a very good feeling. And as a result, one develops loving friendship and happiness and satisfaction. Then there is another result of spiritual friendships. A higher taste develops, and in this way one is able to encourage the other by his example or her example, one's example, to give up the source of misery that is material sense gratification. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expresses it like this. One devotee will say to another, "Oh, you have given up sense gratification? Starting today, I shall also give it up." No? I had such a discussion yesterday. There was one devotee who looked so slim. Before this, he was looking very fatty looking, but he looked so slim. And I asked him, you look so slim. What has happened with you? And he said, "I have given up sense gratification of the tongue." Then I thought, "Oh, today I shall also give it up." And I ate just a very minimal proportion for my dinner because I did not require more. When you see a devotee who has given up sense gratification and who will explain to you, not in a competitional spirit, remember the first point, he will not try to be better and show off, but he will sincerely share with you, you feel inspired, "I can also do the same." Isn't it? This is what we, it's one of us, so see, we human beings are in a way also, you could call us herd animals. We are, that's why social media is so powerful today, because you expand your herd all of a sudden. Many people are there with whom you interact, to whom you can show off. You can send a very nice photo on social media of how you enjoy in the best way, let us say, on a retreat and so on. And many people will see you and like you also for that, or admire you. So we human beings are very dependent on the admiration of a group. On the first stage of when we start a spiritual process, it's very often very important what will others think of us, for us. No, because we make our decisions in groups, and we need the group evaluation when we are developing spiritualists. So this is what devotees do. Let us summarize. When they come together, they know that there is a space, and depending on how I fill this space, the relationship will develop. So devotees like together and fill the space with chanting and with talking about Krishna. I realize some of you will feel awkward in talking about Krishna because you do not, you are not accustomed to read daily about Krishna. Then you can speak about what is your experience in devotional service. What have you experienced on your way in Krishna consciousness? You can talk about something that is, so to say, boiling in your veins in relationship to Krishna consciousness. No, that also counts as good spiritual katha. So at that time, the purificatory effect is there. Why? Yes, Krishna becomes attracted to such talk, and he enters the heart and purifies the heart, and by making you making your life more auspicious. At that time, you have a basis for friendship, and there will be mutual happiness and satisfaction, mainly because in such spiritual friendships, which are genuinely spiritual friendship, there's one thing is not there. Do you remember this disturbing thorn in normal relationships? In rivalry, yes, and competition. And in London English, you would say showing off. So on. By this, a higher taste develops so that you can do what? Yes, you can give up sense gratification because you feel encouraged. Wow, he has done it, I can also do it, and it will suit me well. Not like today when this devotee talked to me and spoke, who had visibly changed. He was handsome. Before that he was not like that, So, and he said, yeah, I've done. And he shared with me his diet, and I thought, wow, why have you done this? And he, I said, for looking more shapely? And he said, no, I did it for my sadhana, because then I feel less tired, and when I'm not so fatty, I'm... hopefully that's English, good English. I don't mean to speak an offensive language, but please forgive me, English is not my mother tongue. So, it's not for looking less fatty. I'm just doing this to really be more alert in my life and in my spiritual practices as well. Yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it like this. One will think if you are becoming detached, I also will become detached starting from today. So you can see here the emphasis is, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes that emphasis also in his purport, one should learn how to associate with devotees of the Lord. In particular, learn how you can fill the relationship space between each other, and you will see there is a total different result. I made yesterday an experiment. I drove with devotees from London to here, and I knew I would give this lecture. So in the past we had spoken about this and that, and our level of satisfaction when we arrived at the goal was not so high. So this time I said, let me make an attempt to put something else in the relationship space. And I read from Chaitanya Bhagavat all the time and discussed the relevant points with the devotees. And we, when we finally arrived and went to our rooms, we were full of affection towards each other. We were full of happiness. There was no need to show off in any way. There was just absolute spiritual mutual friendship. You know? This was very good. This is the lesson which each one of us could learn. Now I wish you to turn to your neighbor. Any neighbor is good. You don't need to have a neighbor with long-standing relationships. I will give you a task. Have you found a neighbor who has not yet found a neighbor? You can look if someone raises the hand and then find a name. Yes, here you have two have found each other. So I will now place an an interesting exercise before you. I will request you to speak to the neighbor something in relationship to Krishna consciousness. Anything. You could talk about the lecture of Keshava Maharaj, which I think touched us all, or the lecture of Bhuta Bhavana, or you could asked how did you overcome I have an obstacle, can you tell me how to overcome it? And while the other person talks, you have to see if it's real talk or if it's unreal talk. I caught you, huh? It has to be something of vital interest. If you feel someone doesn't talk real, you have to interrupt him the way I interrupted Abe when he did his classical nodding of the head, but thinking something else. You have to immediately catch him because you want to be a real friend. No? You don't want superficial relationships any longer. No, that is not nourishing the soul. You want a real thing. So you have to find a subject, really, that is real for you. I have an idea. Judging from the questions, why don't you talk about what you consider an obstacle in your spiritual life? This is usually the obstacles burn more than the positive things. In relationship to Krishna, no? Oh, my obstacle is I don't know how to drive bicycle very swiftly, or my obstacle is I don't know how to cook, or so on. No, in relationship to Krishna, but it should be something real. And the other person, if you catch the person lying to you, sorry, my mother tongue is not English, so therefore I speak very simple and very direct. let us say, embellishing their talk. Then you say, could it be that you are not yet talking real? And in this way, I wish you a very nice exercise. Remember, we are trying to put something spiritual in the relationship space. It's all around this. So anything will work. Let me ask Keshava Maharaj, how would you... I'm not so happy with giving the task. The idea is to put something spiritual, but it should work if they are... what would you say? In your relationship to your Krishna consciousness. Good. This is one of the strengths of our Maharaj. He knows how to really talk very relevant. So the thing is clear, right? What do I experience as an obstacle in my Krishna consciousness? And you can ask the other person, do you have an advice? Because it's friendship, mutual friendship, no? And it must be real, okay? You know that one person, he has a problem with this, but he will talk, oh, I sometimes eat too much. Then you will say, could you be a little bit more real, please? You know, so, yes, we are talking, it's about friendship, no? Friendship is a place where I can be me. of course, you talk to someone who may not be your, in the sense, he may be a wonderful devotee, but you have not a developed friendship. So then you might, of course, find something that is, that you feel safe to share without being judged, no? So start now. Thank you very much. It's a fire. Oh, I'm waking up in your association because you bring real bona fide and high class energy into your discussions. And fine. So I request you to take a note of this relational space. It's, I think, a concept which really helps us. You can also think of it whenever you meet someone, you sit on two ends of a table, and you could bring nice presents in the on the table, or a nice cup of tea, or you could also put other things on the table. I don't want to give examples of things which are toxic in any way, and the relationship would be affected by it. So once again, you gather together and chant to attract Krishna so that he purifies the heart, and then you have, you will feel friendship, and be careful that you don't allow this spirit of rivalry, no, or competition, or I know better than you, something to make you superior to the other, enter into the discussion, even so subtle, no? Oh, you could ask, oh, what's the time, please? And the other person reaches to the wristwatch. And then you say, oh, I have actually a good piece of wristwatch. And then you put, and you point at your stolen Rolex. I'm actually a very superior living entity. I have a Rolex here. Many people do this. They very subtly bring out some superior thing. Or you say, oh, by the way, what is the verse of so-and-so of this chapter? And then the person, no idea. Oh, I just now remember. La 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 la. You know, and I'm telling you very obvious examples of rivalry and competition, and I'm taking talking about them in a humorous way. But some of them are really mean. It's really shows a very poor character development. So you have to avoid that because, yes, we all want to be valued in the herd, in amongst the people whom we consider our group and of whom we, where we are in some ways even dependent. The next verse describes what we have learned so far. It says, very beautiful Sanskrit, smarantam smarayantascha mitogoga haram harim. Beautiful, ne? And then another classic, bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya bibrat yud pulakam tanum. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss about the Supreme Personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus, they constantly remember the Lord and also remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. For instance, they may say, oh, Krishna is so merciful, no? In this way, by their devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the Personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. No, we had this. Krishna comes into the heart and does the cleaning himself. This is describing Vaidhi Bhakti, or bhakti which you have an influence on, where you can do something. I can sit down and talk about Krishna. I can be watchful of rivalry or of my need to show off as superior. This you can do. And this is your sadhana. That is, you can do Vaidhi Bhakti. Now this brings you to another platform, say the commentators, that is the platform of spontaneous devotional service, where it comes out of yourself as being totally natural, the process of Krishna consciousness. The text continues, I'm reading from the next verse, being purified of all impediments. Why? Because Krishna has taken them away. So being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead. Yes. And thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on end. Wow! That's something, you know, when there is genuine spiritual bhava coming. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a beautiful purport in the next verse how it is when ecstasy arrives. The devotees cry thinking, another day has passed, and still I could not obtain Krishna. You can see they are now really eager for Krishna. It is so natural, as if you're missing, let us say, your child or your good friend, and you feel, oh, I'm missing him so much. Another day has passed, and still I could not obtain Krishna. Then what will I do? Where will I go? From whom shall I inquire? Tell me. And who can possibly help me reach Krishna? So that's one mood when you are Krishna conscious. Another is you laugh. Good laughter, a belly laughter comes to you. It is late at night. The sky is dark. And Krishna is determined to steal from the house of one of the elderly gopis. He's fully determined. He's hiding underneath a tree in the corner of the courtyard belonging to one of the cowherd men. So he's there taking cover of a tree. Although Krishna thinks that he's completely concealed, he suddenly hears a voice from one of the elderly members of the family. Who are you there? Who are you, I say? Thus Krishna has been caught, and he begins to flee the courtyard. Imagine, God, the source of all sources, needs to run away. He feels someone breathing down his neck, you know. When this humorous scene is revealed to the devotee begins to laugh heartily. We would say in English, he has a belly laughter. This is where you come by the simple sadhana which you have to learn to spiritualize the space between you and another devotee. So one should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. I can imagine you wish to read this to make it your own motto. So please take note. You find this in Canto 11, SB 11, Chapter 3, verses 30 to 32. But mainly verse 30, no? So I repeat, 11, 3, 30 to 32. My dear devotees, I want to come to another level now. I want to come to the level of doubt. And then I wish to give a very two small points. I think a great help in or a great way to have spiritual friendships is to address doubts. For this, you must obviously feel safe and sure. We often think doubt is like a disease that I need to hide as long as possible because I might be ostracized. Maybe you know leprosy was a disease in the medieval times, also in India, where the lepers were strongly admonished to go to the edge of the village. They could not participate in village life because it was such a highly contagious disease. So the way we often deal in our communities is that we don't dare to address our doubts because we know everyone, especially when they are yet a little bit shaky, they are fearing the doubt and they don't react. What we do is we paint a plastic smile on our distressed faces and go back to the devotees as if there is no, as if there are no, is no pain underneath this plastic smile, no, so that we will be accepted and so on. But there is another way to deal with doubt, and especially amongst friends, real friends, they should be brought out and a solution should be sought. See, it is very natural to have doubts in the spiritual path. If you don't have doubts, it means you most probably don't think about the subject matter. It's a new subject. It's something that does not go in your conditioned brain so easily, Krishna consciousness. It is beyond imagination. I have written down, those who believe that they believe in Krishna, but without any eagerness and longing in their hearts, without uncertainty, they only believe in a concept of God, an idea, not in Krishna himself. We hear in the 11th, in the first canto, how Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma said, I just can't understand how could Krishna, the friend of the Pandavas, tolerate that his dear servants were exposed to so much misery. I just can't understand this. No, it's a doubt. It's a if you deal with Krishna, Krishna is not to be understood by the human brain so easily. Grandfather Bhishma resolves the doubt, maybe eight shlokas later, by saying, one thing I know is that Krishna is affectionate to his devotees. That I know, but I just can't understand what he had in mind to do this. Prabhupada addresses this same point. He says, Narada Muni, he comes to the Pandavas when they are expelled in the forest and he says, I can't understand you. Krishna took everything away from you, but still you are so much after him. I can only assume that Krishna has some magic. It's a nice way of saying, yes, Krishna's magic is his supreme attractiveness. No? So, my dear devotees, every devotee starts with simple faith. What I have seen in London is the faith is based on wanting to be part and pleasing authority. There's a lot of this, I want to please. It gives me many advantages if I please others. It's inbuilt in our philosophy also. We say we must serve devotees and please devotees. And this, you have the simple faith that by doing this, it will be perfect. But there will be a time when complexities settle in. It's when you see that maybe the devotees are not always acting properly. The doubt comes when you don't understand God's work. No? And the doubt may also come in scripture when you hear, when you read the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the fifth canto is intentionally putting subjects in such a way before you that you have to ask yourself deeply, can I believe this or not? And if you pass through it, if you can resolve it, then the way is much more free. I know a devotee in our community. He was a translator, and therefore I know him well. We translated in the same room Prabhupada's books from English into German. Our BBT, I can say this with some self-applause, was the first BBT in the world which completed the translations of Prabhupada's books. So we were all in a room. We would encourage each other. We would ask each other, how do you translate this? What is a proper German idiomatic expression for this? And so on. And there was one of us, he was also a painter. He painted a few paintings, which you will find in our books, who came to the fifth canto. And I remember I was next to him, and he said, I can't believe this, Satchinandan Swami. What? And he showed me that text and said, can you believe it? I said, oops. I mean, this contradicts my educational upbringing totally, but I also didn't have much education. I ran away from school, so I said, well, why don't you put it on a parking place? I'm a new devotee like you, I don't know. Let's put it on a parking place and revisit it later when we have more information. He couldn't do it. And I still wish that I would have been with what I know now, then I would download everything, and I think he would dance in ecstasy at the end. But I did not know all this, and I could park it, he couldn't park it. If there would have been someone next to his side who would have heard him out and who would give him good answers, he could have been saved from falling, becoming a victim of his doubt. So doubt, as first there's simple faith, and then the complexities of spiritual life settle in. They have to. How could it be otherwise? And then questions need to be asked and need to be answered. And at the end of this process, you come to what is called harmony. You see everything in connection with Krishna. You see yourself in connection with Krishna. You see Krishna in everything, and you are very content in your spiritual life. But this is a process. Before you arrive there, you will have to journey from simple faith, which will be challenged, must be challenged, to an area of doubt, and then you come into harmony. I see doubt like a winter season. Some go under the earth and hibernate in winter, the bears for instance, and others take out their snowboard and ride on the snow. So you have to choose how to deal with doubt. Either you ignore it, this will be for those of you who are here for cultural interest, they don't care, or you face it, and then doubt can open to you another door in your spiritual life so that you know how to take your next step in spiritual life. But you need a friend besides you, a person who is not shy to enter into the adventure of spiritual friendship. This means extraordinary friendship, where you invite Krishna into the relationship, where you spiritualize everything, where you stop acting on the ego platform, rivalry is gone, and where you are genuinely sharing. This will be very good for you. Hare Krishna. Finished! Present day. I must say, these days, you know, this is the last program here before I have 2 days of rest. And I'm looking forward to these 2 days of rest, like a thirsty man looks forward to a glass of water. So I'm I'm there. I would be very, very, very happy if you have some questions so that there's some lively interaction. Let me look secretly at the wristwatch. We have until 1 o'clock. So we have now 21 minutes. I want to. Thank you. Your good name is? We were on the Zoom call. Nectar. Yes. That's a nice Zoom call we had with Keshava Maharaj, Buddha Bhavana, and Gopi Chandan. Wonderful. All right. So what are your relevant questions about spiritualizing your friendships? Have you understood what I wanted to say? Was it intelligibly in your language? Here I see that I've seen 2, 3 questions already there. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, question is, I try to connect with the spiritual, you know, to have that conversation, but it doesn't always go in the right direction, or I do not find those answers, or I would say the very descriptive answers which I'm looking for. Sometimes if I try, then if someone is saying their problems with me, then their problem becomes my problem. That means in the next few weeks I'm thinking about them when they go on the holidays. So that happens, and then my mind space is occupied by their problem. So then my sadhana is degraded because their problem is now my problem. So I just want to understand how I get rid of that habit of putting people's problem on my issue rather than providing them with the solution, and how I can find those connections who can help me in uplifting in my spiritual journey, where I can find those descriptive answers which I'm looking for. Of course, I need to try and error with few devotees and ask for it, but I try my best to ask. But again, some of the conversations turn into gossips because, you know, most of the people are interested in gossip, but again, how we can stick with the spiritual conversations and not get diluted with other materialistic talks. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your question. I want to challenge your intelligence. What if problems can be solved in an entirely different way than we, with our ant-like brains and ant-like experiences, are accustomed? What if? It's a theoretical thing. I want to give you an example of this, which impressed me very much. Giriraj Maharaj discusses or writes about this unusual way of solving problems. In Mumbai, when Srila Prabhupada was preparing his Antya Leela, when he was there, and only a few months later he left his body, a group came to the temple who was connected with Mr. Seth. Mr. Seth was the builder who helped tremendously to build first the temporary temple, and then he helped in getting all the permissions. His group was called, do you remember, the Prem Sankirtan Mandali, something like this. Mr. Seth had about 50 families around him. Each Sunday they would do kirtan from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening, and then 1 hour afterwards Vrindavan bhajans, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna. And they came to the they asked, can we do this in the temple? And yes, they were welcome, and they did this. And after this, Prabhupada was so impressed that he said to the devotees, you should do this every day in the temple. Chant from 6 to 6. Girish Maharaj was the temple president, said, I don't think this will work. We are so busy with the services to build up the temple. Then Prabhupada said, okay, then let us invite Mr. Seth and his 50 families. We will accommodate them in Hare Krishna land, and they will sing from 6 to 6. Yes, this is a musical illustration. Then Giriraj Maharaj thought, 50 Girihastas, and they need to eat, and they have children. The children need to go to the school. He said, Prabhupada, I'm afraid this also will not work. Then Prabhupada said, okay, one day in the week, from 6 to 6, our devotees should gather in the temple and glorify the holy name, and that's it. So Giriraj Maharaj had to say yes, because he can't say three times no to Prabhupada. So they did this, and Giriraj Maharaj reports, he's temple president. So Sunday they do it, so on Monday no one came to his temple office with problems. On Tuesday, no one came with problems to the temple. On Wednesday in the morning, also no one came, but in the afternoon, devotees, oh, this problem, that problem. Giriraj Maharaj said, why don't we wait for the weekend? Okay, Thursday more problems, Friday more. But he said, come at the weekend. And then Sunday was there, and after Sunday, no more problems. We know this from a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada. His name is Odulomi Maharaj. He had a flourishing preaching organization in Jagannath Puri, but he saw his preachers had become a little proud. So he said, you know, preaching in Gaudiya Math, they go out to collect money or food. This is one of the reasons why they go out, or one of the side effects of preaching. It's a financial means, like also book distribution brings some financial income. It is a side effect, but it is there. So the Maharaj said, when he felt his preachers were thinking they are better than other members of the mud, he said, no more going out for getting rice and sabjis, or Lakshmi to get rice and sabji, we should chant. So they chanted for one day. In the evening, they ate the few supplies which were in the mud. They chanted the second day, and there were no supplies. They were hungry. And the devotees wanted to go out and preach and collect Lakshmi. Odulomi Maharaj said no. They chanted the third day. Now they were hungry. On the fourth day, a very wealthy man came with an ox load full of rice, sabjis, lentils, dal, and so on. And the Maharaj said, this is what it says in the Gita. If we glorify Ananya's Chintayantumang, when we fix our mind on Krishna, Krishna will supply what we need. What if there is a way of solving problems that is not addressing the problem, but that destroys the darkness of the heart? This is a spiritual life. I have noted as a preacher, many times people come with problems. I have a list here. It's, by Krishna's mercy, not very full, so therefore... by the way, there are many unannounced people who come later on the list. I don't want to give the impression I have time. And I know, let me go through the list. There will be three heavy problems already on the list. What I have noted is, if I can help the devotees to have faith in Krishna and chant the holy name, their problems will go. Just like when light is brought in the darkness, then the darkness goes. I could try with my hands to somehow shovel the darkness out of the room. It doesn't work as well. It doesn't work at all, by the way. Then as good as switching the light on. Prabhupada said that the only problem is our lack of Krishna consciousness. What if this is true? I'm just asking it. I'm not saying anything. Just consider the possibility. And I think our problem is that we don't have faith in Krishna. And therefore, we are not happy with taking Krishna conscious solutions. We really are really problematized by the bugs of doubt, which have hidden in our fur, so to say. They've gone even under our skin, and they corrupt our life without us knowing it even. So yes, this is an answer. Try to give Krishna conscious solutions. By the way, practice makes the master. You are maybe young devotee or young devotee. Try your best and you will learn and so on. Maybe you should learn an instrument. And when people come to you, you say, let's sing. then, harmonium you like already?
I like the sound, yes.
This is your entry into the world of kirtan. wonderful. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? I had this Mataji, yes. And then there is this gentleman, and then your good name, your good.
Okay.
So, Hare Krishna.
During both of our conversations, one of the things which probably is common amongst probably many people is focusing when we are chanting on Krishna. So both of us shared that in the beginning, you know, Krishna is there, and then the mind, similar to our Mataji earlier, our mind kind of wanders off into planning of the day, as well as problems of your own, as well as other people's. And then I have to keep coming back to, you know, bring you to Krishna. So for us, it's really any advice, tips, any way that we could just spend that quality time with Krishna. So whilst we are mechanically doing it, the mind isn't always there.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your very good question. This is happens to be my favorite subject about the holy name and chanting. I know of no more powerful sadhana in chanting than thinking Krishna is right there and listening. And making that effect, and how to make it effect for you, not just a concept, I will say in a moment. But before that, I would like to ask you, have you ever noticed when you are you chanting japa? You do, good. When you chant japa and someone who you care very dearly about comes in the room, how you sit, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I can imagine when I would, Radhika Ranjan does japa in his home, there will be the mobile telephone left to him. He will not look at it, of course. And he will chant. And I imagine if I would come at that moment in his room, he would be Mr. Sincere. Because we as human beings are like this. I'm also like this. I remember I was once sleeping. You know, we had this in our... We had one big translation office where we had the various processes in translation. The raw draft, the first editing, the second editing, the fidelity check, you know... We had about 5 tables, and Prabhupada had visited our temple. It was a castle in the center of Germany, and there was halwa in the morning breakfast, and I liked halwa from the moment I joined the movement. I was halwa, that was now no longer, but and I had eaten sufficient quantities of halwa, and I felt very tired. So I slept. So I put the alarm clock for 7 minutes. I still remember. And then I had a low table, and I went right next to the table and slept 7 minutes. After I don't know how much time, I hear a voice. I think, what a wonderful dream. I'm dreaming of Prabhupada. But as the voice became louder, it was our temple president who led Prabhupada through our translation office. And Prabhupada was going from table to table and asking about the different steps in the translation or something like this. So here I was lying, and Prabhupada was only 3 meters away. I can tell you, I was perspiring profusely. I did not. I discontinued my sleeping activities, and then I saw underneath the table, Prabhupada's lotus feet were before my table. So there were 2 options. Should I stay lying, or should I maybe get up? So I remember I was like this. My cheek was all reddish from lying on some awkward cushion. And I went like this and looked into Prabhupada's face. And Prabhupada saw me. And he started to laugh. He was first very shocked that some living entity came from under the table. And I was, oh, but I usually don't sleep, it was a halwa. and so on. But Prabhupada, he just signaled with his eyes, no problem, everyone is sometimes tired, you know, so needs to sleep. But I just want to tell this thing. When a person who is very dear and important to your life comes, then you come in your best shape immediately, because of our, that's how we are wired as human beings. Certain things we wish to, certain people we want to please, and we want to look good before them. So when I chant, I always try to chant in the presence of Krishna. That means practically, I either chant before deities, I have deities, or pictures, photos of Krishna. Very nice. I chant there. Sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I just take a book cover and there's Krishna on the thing. But I try to be in the presence of God, and then I shape up. Then I stay amazingly long in a Krishna conscious way, and if I lose it, I look again at the photo of Krishna or the deity. So this is the quickest way to be in Krishna's presence, making use of that part in our psychology which wants to look good in the eyes of others, making good use of this need, which can sometimes corrupt us a little bit. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. There was our problem. Your good name again? Vivek. That means discerning intelligence. Viveka, no? Vivek? Yes, Vivek. Hare Krishna.
Spoke about doubt, and doubt is natural and it is a tendency of mind. However, beyond the limit, it causes unnatural, unintended, or intended consequences. And having that level of doubt is actually worse than death, because of what it causes, because when you die once, but if you're living in doubt to a heightened level, you're dying every moment.
Yes.
Or making somebody else die every moment. So that's right. So my question comes, how, when, and why should we be aware when to doubt the doubt?
When to doubt the doubt. Vivek, I think some of the blessings of becoming old or elderly, I'm approaching 70 now, I just don't take my mind so serious any longer. I have learned this. It is, yeah, okay, you think this, and the reality is something else. But that, I think, comes with old age and with when you are content in your life, basically content in your life. What is your good age? 52. You're so young. I think you need to see, when there are these small doubts, you can doubt the doubt easily. But there are some doubts which sit in you like a thorn, or the spike of a sea urchin, which is very difficult to get out. I once went into the Adriatic Sea and stepped on sea urchin, and I needed to get surgery 3 times before I had gotten it out. So there are some doubts which sit like the spikes of a sea urchin. Do you know what is a sea urchin? They look like hedgehogs, but they are under the water. No? So, and these you need to confront. You need to go to good friends. I would say before doubts come, you can already do some doubt vaccination program. I mean, I know there are divided opinions whether vaccinations work or not. I don't want to enter this discussion here. But you can do something to make you doubt-free. That is, read regularly. because I think in the Shastras a lot of possible scenarios are addressed, how Krishna is present. My dear devotees, please listen to an old man. I can really say regular reading, especially in the Bhagavatam, prepares you to prepares your intelligence to have to find answers to almost everything. But you must do it regularly. It is a little bit when you boil water in a kettle. If you stop the supply of electricity, it will never reach the boiling point. So when you read and then don't read and then 2 weeks no reading, then again reading, it is also very difficult to get in and get the taste. But if you do regularly, I had a discussion with the mother today, very sincere Vaishnavi, who told me it's very difficult to read now with two young small children, but I can do 5 minutes like this when they are asleep and so on, and that supplies the intelligence with answers. See, doubt is a function of the intelligence. It is there in Patanjali's description. It is necessary, and if we don't anesthetize our intelligence with, like some of us are accustomed to do, then doubts must come. It is natural. You can say questions also, if doubts are, the word doubt is making you too upset, then you can say questions, no? Good. Thank you very much, Vivek, and it's a pleasure to listen to you, how you phrase your questions. It's very nice. Gopi, please ask your question. We will have a microphone. This is Gopi. I must say, I didn't understand acoustically. Sometimes, and then what did you say after some?
Sometimes we may feel inspired. So do the same practice
Yeah.
that your friend might be doing. But how can we make sure that we are doing it genuinely and sincerely, so that when we are following a certain practice for a while, we don't look back and question, why am I doing this? What is my motivation? Am I doing it to fulfill some sort of social need? Am I doing it for acceptance? I think it kind of fits into Kish Maharaj's classic idea of being within that 80% of cultural shraddha.
Yeah.
How are we ensuring that we are doing it out of sincerity?
You must know one thing about the processes of bhakti. Even if you do them in an imitational way, perhaps out of a social need or other need, if you do them, they will work. However, you must also know they may work only for a limited time unless you do them with the right motivation, not a cultural motivation, not a sense of belonging or getting validation from your group. So but however you start bhakti, good. But then you need to see at one time where is your motivation. I think you just have to, for me it's, I would say, become a little mindful of your spiritual practice. Watch yourself. Do what is called in the 11th canto, take the Shakshit Vena position, where you just observe yourself in the way you would observe another person. Ask yourself questions which you would like to ask another person but may not dare to do so. Ask yourself, how real are you really in this? Where is something still missing in your spiritual life? And once you do so, then you will see where you still need to exchange a motivation, where you need to still have an answer, and so on. But no matter how you start, the main thing is start. And then while you're walking, while you are moving forward, try to establish the fundament for you. Yes. I thank you very much. I want to end with something, our session, which is in my mind, and then tell you that of my gift which I prepared for this retreat for you. You might remember the way the Bhagavatam defines spiritualizing your friendships is by chanting, gathering with devotees to chant and to either the holy name or talk about Krishna, because that will purify all the obstacles or the problems out of your heart, so that you can move on from a forced practice, Vaidhi Bhakti, to a spontaneous practice of devotional service. And on the way, you will help when you want to make spiritual friendships. You can gently help to remove doubts. Yes. But the emphasis here was one should learn how to chant. Sanskrit was there, which said this. This chanting is really so wonderful, even for Krishna. He chants also. Did you know this? It is described that once Krishna had a burning desire to meet with Radharani. So he came to Lalita, and Lalita, who wanted to not give away the whereabouts of Radha, directed him to a wrong place. So when Krishna went to this part of the Vrindavan forest, he very confidently stood before this forest, this kunja, and said, "Radha, I know you are in there, come out." But there was no Radha inside, and when Krishna looked, he saw Lalita was coming and giggling. That she had deceived Krishna. So Krishna became very, very despondent. At that time, Madhu Mangal, his friend, said, "My friend, I have your Radha." And Krishna said, "Well, you're my friend. You're not like Lalita who deceives me. I can trust that you speak the truth." And then Madhu Mangal replied, "I swear on the Gayatri Mantra that I speak the truth." So Krishna's trust was high. And he said, "My dear friend, then tell me, where is she? Show her to me." And Madhu Mangal said, "I will do more. I will place her in your very hand. But first you must give me a reward, not after." So Krishna then respectfully decorated his friends with malati flowers, and then Madhu Mangal said, "Here, now you take her," and gave Krishna a leaf on which he had written with sandalwood the name Radha. Krishna's smiled, and acknowledging the gift as being Radha, he said, "Friend, I'm pleased with your gift." And then he said, "When the syllables of the beloved's name even momentarily enter the eyes or ears of the lover," remember, he just saw the syllables, he didn't hear the syllables, he saw them on a leaf. "When these syllables enter the eyes or ears of the lover, at every moment they bring great satisfaction to the lover's heart. What to speak of the lover's heart? These syllables fill the hearts of the entire world with transcendental love. This, my dear devotees, is the power of the holy name. It brings us Krishna." Yes, we are still in a comatose position. We are not really fully awake to the spiritual reality. But by patiently hearing the holy names in Kirtan, then we will certainly wake up from our troubled and compromised position as conditioned souls. Therefore, one must learn amongst devotees how together, come together and chant the holy name. One must learn it. At the moment we don't really fully know, but as we go on, we will learn this secret. Shri Krishna's holy name ki jai. I wanted to give you something else. I prepared for you a new rendition. It's from my new book. It's not yet out, the book. Strengthen Yourself with the Tree of Life. It has only a few pages. I know no one reads any longer in this day and so therefore it's very brief. It gives you a few very powerful practices for your overall well-being. It focuses, of course, on your spiritual well-being, but then it goes to your physical and emotional well-being. This is extremely important, and gives you tips even for your social well-being, you know, the types of relationship you make. And I suggest, Nishkinchana, do you have the participants, are they, or Gopi, this may be for Gopi Chandan, you have the emails, we can send it to you on the WhatsApp or anything. Yeah. So Gaur Krishna, is this your duty or is it your duty? Yeah. She looks like a secretary. yeah. The Matajis are somehow very secretarial. Gaur Krishna, you will give this to Gopi Chandan and she will send it to you. I can't introduce it, but it's such a wonderful program for your well-being. And I think if you, the benefit is, if you take care of any dimension of your life, it will influence all the other dimensions. Just like when one part of the tree is healthy, the others will follow suit. And so you will be able to get those of you who are not on the distribution list of Gopi Chandan might like to give their WhatsApp, and then you get it also. I thank you very much. I think time is up now. Oh my God, we are scandalously punctual here. Only 1 minute late. Oh, this is my world record. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, and I wish you all the best. And if you forget everything which you heard, which most of you will do, think of only one motto: filling the relational space. Well, that's a new thing. It's quite an interesting concept. Fill it with Krishna and you will see how you spiritualize your friendships. And be also careful to not put junk into there. Because that will influence it negatively and not bring you mutual happiness and deep satisfaction. All the best and Hare Krishna.